You're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie and my co-host Todd LaDuke, episode 49. And hey, I have to introduce this guest because he was actually my guest on the regular Get Balanced podcast on episode 44, and I'm talking about Assistant Chief Eric Valliere of the Scottsdale Fire Department. He is also the chair of the FDSOA. But I'll tell you, since the broadcast when we recorded this, I got to know Eric and an absolutely remarkable human being, fantastic leader, father, husband, you name it. I can't wait for you to listen to this episode that Chief Todd does, and I chime in a little bit on it, but it's another great one. Let's go to the show.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Donnie, and I am telling you, I'm excited that the Get Balanced podcast has an official sponsor, and I want to tell you a little bit about them. And it is FirstNet, built with the AT&T. And what I want to tell you about them is probably part of it is that many of you already know this, but for first responders and frontline workers, communication, as we know, is not a luxury, but it's a lifesaver. And that's why FirstNet, built with AT&T, was created. Now, the FirstNet mission is to make communication faster, safer, and more collaborative for first responders and other public safety personnel. FirstNet helps first responders and frontline workers connect when they are on and off duty. They get access to priority and preemption capabilities. This means they connect to the network first. In emergency situations, first responders move to the front of the line to access critical bandwidth they need to send and receive, whether it's voice, data, video, images, and text. Now, during an emergency, FirstNet is a critical connection between first responders to technology and also to each other, giving them access to information quickly and when every second counts. With FirstNet, first responders and frontline workers get a highly secure, reliable network with 24/7, 365 customer care and monitoring. Now, to get more information about FirstNet, go visit your local AT&T store or visit FirstNet.com. Now, let me go in and introduce our guest for this week. Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast, the LifeScan Learning Lab edition, and with my co-host here, Todd, Chief Todd LaDuke. And Todd, welcome to the show. And why don't you go ahead and, of course, introduce our special guest this week.
Absolutely. Donnie, it's, as I say at the beginning of every episode, you know, continues to be, I'm having a fun, thrilling time doing these with you. You're getting to meet all my best friends one by one and colleagues. And I'm having a great time working with you as co-host, and it's such a great opportunity to spend time, especially after this last year where we've all been kind of pent up. Today's guest is a real thrill to have on, a friend and colleague. I've come to know him in his role. I'm going to let him introduce himself and start by telling us a little bit about his background and how we got in the service. But I came to know Eric through my involvement with the International Association of Fire Chiefs, serving on their board of directors of Safety, Health, and Survival section, and working with the Fire Department Safety Officers Association and Eric's work there. So Eric, why don't you introduce yourself, if you would, tell our listeners a little bit about kind of your journey on how you got involved in the fire service, you know, your current service in Scottsdale, and then we'll talk a little bit about the F2SOA. So I'll let you introduce yourself, and then we'll take it from there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Todd and Donnie, for inviting me. This has been a really, really cool thing for the opportunity to do this. So Yeah, Eric Valliere. I've got about almost 30 years in the service now. I started my career in Mesa, Arizona. Really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life until I rode on the fire truck one time. And in that first call, I said, this is it. I got to do this job. And I remember in the academy thinking, I cannot believe they pay me to do this. Right. just such a, the whole ride of my career has been nothing but fantastic. And so I promoted up through the ranks of captain there. Scottsdale, the city was going to bring on their own municipal fire department. They reached out. I was getting ready to actually test for battalion chief in Mesa and put my name in the hat here and got drawn. And it was tough to leave such a fantastic organization with fantastic people. But now I have two families, and that's a wonderful thing. Still have great relationships there. And so I came here as a battalion chief, training ops, and then I became a deputy and now an assistant. I'm assistant fire chief over operations and EMS and safety and wellness, which is what I have such a passion for. And you're shaking your head. You know that we all have this passion for firefighter survivability on and off duty. And so I got connected through our regional safety committee. I've been a chair for the auto aid safety committee for quite a few years now. We have a regional response, auto response of 26 different entities out of two dispatch centers, one in Mesa, one in Phoenix. We have a system, I say unlike any other, I mean, other areas have some auto aid systems, but we 26 organizations, we all operate off the same operating procedures. We have a committee that's the Life Safety Council that the fire chiefs all sit on, and we all agree to certain things. I'm the chair for the Regional Operations Consistency Committee. So that's all the ops chief and all the operations personnel. And we beat up and refine and define how we operate in the Valley and come to agreement, as well as a co-chair for the safety committee here in the region. And then in 2013, I was blessed enough to make some connections and got on the board with the Fire Department Safety Officers Association. And I've been there for quite a few years. And just over the last couple of years, I've had the honor to take over the chairman position for the board, which has been a fantastic thing. Fantastic thing. So I've got, happily married, got two daughters. I just been, just been enjoying my ride in the fire service. And this is a testament of it, building relationships, great friendship with Todd. And now, Donnie, you and I know that we're going to carry this relationship farther, because I can already tell you have the same passion for keeping firefighters safe and help them survive their career and their retirement with happiness, right? And joy and success. Absolutely. So that's my story.
Absolutely. And I have a son, which a lot of listeners, I'm starting to announce this. He is a part-time firefighter right now, working on becoming a full-time, and he's a former military, 82nd Airborne guy, Afghan war vet, and he was over last night. Todd, you didn't wish me happy birthday yesterday, so I'm a little upset.
Happy birthday, Dan.
Happy birthday. 31?
31, yep.
Very nice.
Yep. 31 with a 24-year-old daughter and 23-year-old son. I started early. And a 19 and 18-year-old girls.
Well, happy birthday, Donnie.
Thank you. But hey, Eric, when you talk about it, because I'll tell you, I'm really looking forward to, and I have Surviving the Fire Service. I mean, Todd sent a book to my son, Donnie, and I'm really looking forward to helping him, through that whole journey, to where... Can we get these the young ones that are coming in? Can we get them to do all the things that we know about now that you guys just never had the information back then, on that safety and wellness piece? But I don't want to go too far on that. I want I know you got a couple questions, Todd, that you want to ask. Real quick though, just for clarification, because I was taking some notes. Chairman of the board of which board, Chief?
Fire Department Safety Officer Association. So our mission is really training and educating and certifying incident safety officers and health safety officers, which is on the administrative side that deals with the health and wellness of the work group, tracking and trending injuries, OSHA regulations, those kind of things. Not as a fun of a safety officer as the incident safety officer, right? We get into the fire department wanting to be a part of operations. And I will tell you, I've been I've managed and been a part of every area of the fire service, and every part of it has been such a fantastic learning experience and a fantastic ride that I wouldn't change a thing. You know, the tough thing for me is what it looks like after this, because if I wasn't a firefighter, I tell my kids this all the time, daddy wouldn't know what he wanted to do when he grows up either now, right? it's an honor to be in this profession and work with such great people. Yeah. It really is. Men and women in this profession are nothing but honorable, trustworthy, and just fantastic. And I think that's what the motivator is for all of us to do what we're doing to keep them safe.
You hit on some great points there, Eric. And you know, I think, you know, Donnie alluded to, you know, his son is, has served, you know, 82nd Airborne. Donnie himself is a veteran, and now his daughter is heading into service of our country. And, you know, oftentimes I've said, I don't know if you've heard me say it, but, you know, the one regret maybe I have professionally is not having served in the military and served the country. But in some way, and you hit on it, for most of us in the fire service, it's a passion where, you know, we can serve, you know, our hometowns, you know, and well, you know, we get paid for it in the career side. 70% of the country is volunteer firefighters and is doing it just as their passion and giving back to protect their communities. So, thanks for sharing your journey for those, you know, that maybe didn't know. And I know you left Mesa in good hands when you left. Mary is doing a great job out there. And, you know, certainly Scott Stills is very fortunate to have you in your talents. I do want to touch a little bit about, in my mind, going back, I can't even remember the number of years, you know, the safety, health, and survival section met with Rich Marinucci, and I think your board at the time, and talked about how can we work together. What are the areas of commonality amongst the I chiefs and the Safety Officers Association, and how can we merge those? And you know, I think from that discussion to the work that you all have done, and we've done even jointly in some cases, really has blossomed a great opportunity to elevate many of the areas of focus for chiefs and safety officers, whether that's HSOs or ISOs. But can you touch a little bit on the work that the FDOSOA has been doing? I know, you know, just I've been blessed, and certainly with my new role as Chief Safety Officer for LifeScan, you know, I know you all have started with, we did some podcasts earlier in the year, I think a webinar, I think we also taped, and I think now you're doing a Wellness Wednesday, and so you've got a lot of great stuff going on. I was wondering just in the short time we have with you, if you can share with our listeners some of that magic sauce, if you will, that's happening under your leadership, and also if someone's listening that wanted to join. I mean, obviously, I'd love to have everyone join the safety, health, and survival section, but at the same time, I know there's probably listeners that it would be in their will to really consider joining the FDOSOA. So, if you can talk a little bit about that for us.
Well, so yeah. So now I'm going to run for a little bit here because that's a huge question. That's a lot of good information that I'm going
to
share.
Yeah, I wanted to. I know you probably have. We could do probably, I'm sure, a day or a week session on this, but I want to just to let you kind of share out of all the stuff you have going on, the highlights.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, I'll start with the I-Chiefs and Safety, Health, and Survival section. That's such an important piece because the. You know, if you look at how organizations are managed and how they operate, it really falls on the leadership of the organization, right? Getting buy-in support from the troops, but the leadership of the organization, of any organization, is about the relationships and the trust that's built. And, you know, the I-Chiefs, they have such an important role in assisting fire service leaders to do the right thing for the right reasons, right? And not only kind of how to do it, but give them critical up-to-date information that can be utilized in there to be successful in the organization for their people. So that, you know, the connection that we have with the safety, health, and survival section of the iChiefs is a super great relationship. You know, your instructors from that organization have been teaching at our conferences for many years, right? And you know, you always try to side with like-minded people, right? You find and connect with people in relationships in life that share your ideas and your vision and your passions, true passions to do the right thing, right? And that's, you know, when I took over the leadership of the FDSOA, that's my thing. I'm a big relationship person. I love people. And I have a strong, internal mission to help firefighters survive, right? Survive every day. And, you know, survivability on the fire ground is different than survivability in just the work environment and the home life, right? I mean, they all tie together. And Donnie, I want to hear a little bit more about your work-life balance, because that's such an important piece of this thing. But, you know, siding and getting alongside and partnering with the iChiefs, with Firefighter Cancer Support Network, Everyone Goes Home. I mean, you talk about these organizations with the people that are in them currently and in the past. And, you know, when we try to carry on the legacies of the organizations we're part of, not only in our fire department, but in our organizations that we chair or manage or sit on the board of, in the volunteer aspect of it, right? And you know, then that's not to leave out the National Volunteer Fire Council, because you hit it on the head, Todd, that the volunteers that are doing this for free because they know it's the right thing, they want to help their community, that's service of bond greater than any. I mean, I look in you know, that I will tell you, the experience I've had with the association has really opened my awareness of what that looks like from a volunteer, and really connecting with the volunteer fire council to find out what their needs are, because there's a lot of them out there because they have low funding, right? They may not have the resources available to help their people be successful. And so, you know, just giving them those resources and giving them the education and helping them wherever they need to be, you know, that they like you said, 70-75% of the country is based on volunteers, and that's just in the fire service alone, right? So, you know, the desire we have to help firefighters from every walk of life, career, volunteer, doesn't matter. Firefighter's a firefighter. And the cool thing about it is what I find in my travels, that we're all the same. We all have the same personalities. We all have the same needs. We all have the same weaknesses and struggles, right? In the creating that sense of it's okay to be vulnerable and share where you need help, right? Let us help you. I think we've all been connected with someone that on the behavioral health side that you've reached your hand out as far as you can, and all you're doing is asking them, just grab onto it, we'll pull you in, right? We'll help you. It's the firefighter vulnerability that we struggle with, right? And we all have that I won't ask for help until I really need help, and I'm gonna be unconscious and someone else is gonna have to call it. That's, I mean, we're just like this, we've created this persona about us that we really need to break the walls down. And I worry about the new people coming into the service with helping them to understand the impact they're going to have on their life is what's important. So they can build those muscles and strength mentally and physically to do the job for the 25, 30 year career they're going to have. And so, yeah, the relationships with associations has been nothing but fantastic. I want a personal relationship with every person I meet in the membership of the FDSOA, let alone every organization that I'm a part of. And so that's important. And I think you can only break down the walls if you build a sense of trust. And that's what happens when you build those relationships. And so we can talk about organizational leadership. We can talk about how important relationships are and the networking aspect. And the whole adage of, you know, it's not who you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. You know, that's not only success in life, that's success in your health and mental being. You know, and you talk about the first center out of Drexel with Dr. Jen Taylor and their group. Just, I mean, I could go on. The people that you meet doing this, and I would stress to anybody, if you have a desire to be a part of something great, just raise your hand, because any one of these organizations will grab you and pull you in, right? every person, there's an opportunity to do something great. You just need to raise your hand and do it, right? In your organization or outside your organization to make each other a little bit better. And I don't care. Listen, I want to save my firefighters. I want my firefighters to be strong, but everybody's firefighters are important to me. And you know, we get to see each other on this video cam we're doing, and not tied to the podcast, but you know, I can see it on your faces. Like, you guys have the same passion for this and desire to network and create strength among numbers to share the information. And that's what it is, right? It's sharing information.
Sure. You know, that's some great transcending, right? The fire service, Eric, and for those, whether you're seasoned fire service or whether you're coming up, but certainly within or outside the fire services, as you just hit, I think, you know, a wonderful leadership pearl or a life pearl is it is all about relationships, right? The greatest crises and threats and opportunities can all be beautifully worked through and managed if you've got that relationship ahead of time and forged a strong bonding relationship of understanding and mutual trust and all the things that you discussed. And it really shows with that approach you've taken and the leadership of FDUSOA has taken, you really have built, I mean, just some of the organizations you touched on. I know we had Brian Frieders on just a couple weeks ago from Firefighter Cancer Support Network. You touched on National Volunteer Fire Council. I'm still, for those that are listening, I know we all continue to send our thoughts and prayers out to Heather Schaefer's untimely passing, and that organization, she shepherded them for many, many years, and has left the volunteer fire service and the fire service as a whole is in a better place. I want to touch a little bit on the work that you do. You kind of alluded to it, but I know for many years, I'm not sure how many, but it's been a while that you've been doing the annual health and wellness conference. I know I've been blessed to be a speaker a number of years, and the folks I've met there are just tremendously, like you, tremendously passionate about protecting their firefighters, their wellness, their safety. I know my new role the last couple of years, LifeScan Wellness Centers has been an exhibitor there. And again, it's been, just so rewarding to see the desire of all your conference attendees to learn more about comprehensive physicals. So, and I know you rotate it. Sometimes it's on the East Coast and you rotate it out West. Can you just, you know, where I think a lot of folks are yearning to get back to in-person learning and looking for opportunities. And you all put on just a spectacular learning opportunity, you know, really at the meat of what we do, which is protecting our people. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a couple things, and I don't know if you realize this, but safety is sexy right now, right? Safety is sexy. I keep saying that, but and the other nugget I'm going to give you is
it's one way to get people's attention.
It is. I'm telling you, it sells.
I joke all the time. I'm sure you saw the same thing. 15 to 20 years ago, we actually had this happen. You'd be talking on a safety topic, and you'd have one, maybe two people in the room. Now it's standing room only. People have a thirst for knowledge about, you know, what they need to be doing, best practices. So you're absolutely right, Eric.
Well, I think organizations and leaders of the organizations we talked about and FDSOA AI chiefs, you know, it's not about code enforcement, right? Nobody wants a code enforcer as a safety officer. They want to share knowledge. They want the knowledge to be successful. And they want you to help them through when they struggle, right? It's not about, you know, everybody talks when you talk about leadership, hey, you have to have accountability. No, you have to teach responsibility. If you teach responsibility, the accountability takes care of itself because there becomes an internal accountability process that takes place, right? And that's really the key to those things. And I'll tell you, here's something that I don't know if people really put this in words, but the essence of true leadership is caring for your people, right? It's not only just caring for your people, it's for them to know that you care for them, right? once you have that connection and that trust that they really do care for me, then I'm going to try to do the right thing all the time, right? And I'm going to help others do the right thing. That's the thing that happens and takes place, is that it just becomes this living energy that you can build on. It's the trust and the care that you share with others. But it's got to be deep-seated, and it's got to be honest, right? It can't be
from the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't fake it. You can't fake caring. Can't fake loving.
No, you can't, because people see right through that, right? Yeah. When it becomes about you and not about them, you're done. Your credibility's gone, right? None of us should be in this for the me. It should be for them, right?
Yeah.
For everyone else. It's a selfless act, and people that are successful with others are selfless. And that's the part of it. So I'll jump into the conference. Yeah, we've been doing this. The FTSOA has been around for 30 plus years now. And since I jumped in, we started rotating from just being in Florida to one time out on the West Coast, and it's been in Scottsdale. And January of 22, the plan is, knock on wood, bye-bye COVID, and we have a conference in January. And then we'll turn right back around the next following year. We're going to be in St. Pete's in Florida. And so we try to rotate, because some organizations can't send their people across the country, but it's a little bit closer. There's a drive or a shorter airline trip or whatever it is to reduce the cost. So, we do have a passion for it. We have an apparatus conference and a safety conference. The apparatus side is really the EVT. How do we keep our people safe on the road, tied to the apparatus, right? How do we make sure our mechanics are meeting the specs of maintenance, and how to make sure that the trips to and from those calls are taken care of with the well-functioning apparatus, right? And tie that to the driver operator and kind of old school it. I'm an old school person. And the part about old school that I see is funny. I'm going to get off on a tangent a little bit, but the part I think about old school, when people say that, oh, I'm a little old school. Well, it shouldn't be old school, because it still works. Right? Why did it turn into old school if you're bringing it back and it doesn't work? We shouldn't be saying that anymore, but we do, and it drives me crazy. But
just need to make it sexy, Eric, and everyone will attach themselves to it.
It hooked you. I told you it hooked you. So, the conference is about sharing unique information, and I think we do. We put a lot of time and energy into having a pro board certification of both incident safety and health and safety, and teaching our people how to be smart on the scene, how to do it right, how to manage their crew safely, how to share information and stop acts that could save someone's from an accident or injury. That's the passion of that piece, and teaching people how to read buildings, how to read smoke, how to identify what they're dealing with and to be able to attack it a certain way. But it's not just about fires. It's about, how do you manage a safety officer on an active shooter event, right? What does that look like? And most people are going, I don't know. Well, get protocols in place if you don't have that, right? Start looking at ballistics for your people. But we have things, topics like that at our conference, though, not just the, addressing what I call the three big killers of firefighters, the cancer, cardiac, and the behavioral health, right? And the behavioral health, we can talk on a little bit at some point through this conversation is, we talk about the suicides, right? It's not just the suicides, it's the depression that takes place that beats the body down, and then they succumb to some other injury, right? Because they weren't taking care of themselves, and they get into substance abuse and all the other bad things that can happen. So there's, those three are so important to identify and figure out ways to reduce the exposure of every one of those, right? And Todd, I'm talking to the choir here, because you do a great job at it. And by the way, you're locked in at every conference. Your name just happens to be on the agenda every time. And we just call you and let you know, hey, you're coming. Because we really appreciate the information you share. It's critical. But we do that. We have critical information on the health safety side of things, and then the incident safety side of things. And, my vision for the association is not just that personal relationship, but tell us what your needs are so we can address your needs. And it's bringing safety to the streets, right? Because a lot of organizations talk from a holistic approach, but how do you put those actions into words? And how do you do that in your organization from bringing in a health and safety program, right? To how do you get the policies and procedures in place to manage an active shooter or event? How do you build the relationships with, with your partners on the PD side to work together? What's unified command look like? How do you even establish unified command, right? It's those things that we dive into deep, and we hopefully deliver this, the knowledge base to share with others. And I will tell you this, you know, this COVID pandemic has just been devastating for not only our kids, but for the fire service professionals that are, I think everybody's organization, our firefighters are tired, our police officers, our first responders are tired. They're just mentally tired from dealing with this. And we need to make sure we're staying on top of their health and making sure they have time off and watch how much operational impact they have every day at work and how to alleviate some of that, to give them a break when they need a break, right? And give them the resources to reach out to if they need some extra work, extra help. So yeah, our conference is really unique than what's out there, because it does give you the knowledge base to be successful on the street. And oh, by the way, we have Brian Frieders there, and we have Todd there from the iChiefs, and you know, we have Rick Best there from Everyone Goes Home, and it's an opportunity for all of us that have the passion for this to get together and meet those other people that are attending that have the same passion for that knowledge and share ideas, right? And try to get ahead of some of these things and figure out what's next on the agenda that we need to provide a program for, because you know, I want more stock on shelf for the FDSOA. I want more impact. I want more members. I want us to be known across the country for the premier organization that teaches our firefighters how to be smart on the street. And you know, there's a lot of great organizations doing great things, and they don't need help. They don't need our help necessarily, right? Because they're doing it right. But there's a lot of others that may need to reach out and we need some resources, and we want to be there for them.
Yeah, Eric, you had asked me before we hit recording about, you know, hey, what is that work-life balance? You know, we laugh about, you know, for firefighters and so forth. But is very interesting. A couple things I want to make a comment on. Your authentic leadership concept that, you know, that you're talking about, and I have two roles. I mean, I'm all about the work-life balance and self-care. And like many of us, we always have something else we do. You know, so I'm an adjunct professor at the University of Dayton in the MBA school. I teach leadership classes and I teach business ethics. And one of the things I brought into business ethics is this concept of what is ethical leadership? And you really hit the nail on the head when you start talking about it. It's like, you know, I'm defining ethical leadership as, we need to lead the whole person. You know, it's not just about how much more productivity can I get out of this? You know, you want to call them a human being, right? But if you're just trying to get as much as you can out of them, but you don't care about them as a whole person, we're going the wrong way. And so I love that piece when you're talking about that, when it comes to leadership of what you're teaching out there. And the second thing, when, you know, as you talked about the three big killers, cancer, cardiac, and behavioral health. You know, those, as you mentioned, those are the effects of a root problem. And I think, and you asked what is my work-life balance? That is what I really teach. It's work-life balance through self-care. It's about how well we actually care for our own needs, our physical needs, our psychological, social, and spiritual, those four buckets. If we actually do a good job of that, take care of our physical, psychological, social, spiritual, everything else generally falls into place. We are very effective in our careers. We are very effective with our families and everything like that. And that's where it's like, we try to get to that root, you know, get down to, are we leading people today to make sure? And you mentioned it a couple minutes ago about, you know, do they need time off? Do we need to make sure they take time off? Yeah, how many people don't actually use their vacation, you know? And crazy, and we just sit back and watch it. It's like, oh yeah, we're proud. You know, I've got all this stored up and all that. It's like, no, you've actually missed all this time with your loved ones that you could have done something. So I love where you're headed with all that. That is, you know, I'm preaching to the choir now, but I'll stop preaching and turn it back over to Todd.
See another episode.
Man, I get excited when I hear someone talk about that.
Absolutely. Well, you got to invite me into one of your sessions if you have something online. I'd love to hear your talk on school leadership and some of that. I love all that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you can be a guest speaker in one of my classes. How about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. Any chance I get to share, I'd love to.
Yeah.
meet some people.
Some great wisdom from both of you for our listeners there on not just personal, but professional combined success. You know, as both of you were talking, and I remember, Eric, you may remember this. I don't know, you know, Jim Page, of course, who many credit as being, you know, the father of modern fire-based EMS. You know, but I remember hearing in reading, he did it actually an editorial in GEMS magazine. It was called Round Pegs and Square Holes. And you know, what he basically said was, I know a lot of people in the fire service that are professionally successful. And I know a lot of people in the fire service that are personally successful. I know very few people in the fire service that are both personally and professionally successful. And that's really a challenge for the fire service, for our listeners. And I think both you and Donnie have laid out some great pillars on how to make sure you have that, you know, both personal and professional success, and it's balanced, and that gives you longevity and happiness. So great stuff. Great stuff. I love kind of the blend today of leadership and relationship and how that drives ultimately success. You know,
and if you think about it, Todd, and we want that success to be, as a lot of people talk about, it's like, you know, you have your career and then you retire. And Todd, you know the answer better than I do on this. What's the average length of a firefighter's retirement now?
It's statistically, it's not long.
Not at all. And you think about whether, you know, like you said, if you can enjoy your journey personally and professionally. But that's where, if you think about I want to throw in LifeScan. I mean, you think about with LifeScan, getting that proactive, you know, very, very thorough preventive screenings, that's only one of those, it's another pillar to help that stage, you know, let's make that retirement longer and more enjoyable, as well as your career, you know, because a lot of that stuff is caught during the career, right? I mean, it's a huge part of it, because it's everyone works so hard, yet we got to have a lengthier retirement.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like anything. I mean, LifeScan focuses on, you know, early detection, right? So any area of our life, you know, if it's out of balance, you know, whether that's your physical or personal or mental well-being, the quicker we can identify that and work on solutions, the more successful we're going to be. And that certainly applies to longevity. This is a great, go ahead, Eric.
No, so you guys bring up a great point, and LifeScan's doing it. And you know, the yearly medical physical that organizations should be having their people go through, the one touch a year that's consistent, everybody goes through it. You know, I feel pretty blessed being in a Valley region that all of our AutoAid partners are doing that. And you look at line of duty death rates and those kind of things. I mean, a lot of that ties to potential of not having yearly medical physicals, right? And what that looks like. And I know there's a cost associated with it. The other part is something the iChiefs did. They did that little firefighter scan chart where kind of take to your doctor and say, hey, doc, I'm a firefighter, and here's the things that I run into, because most PCPs don't know what firefighters do. You know, what I'm trying to stress is, you know, we do a yearly medical physical, but 6 months later, you got wellness, right? You get a wellness visit that's free for most insurances, right? That you should be tying to a primary care physician. You know, we're just bringing to the table a thing we're calling Your Call. And we work with Cigna and our city benefits to put together a primary care access for our firefighters to go at 6 months after they do their yearly. And I'm going to be the first one to contest that as you get older, things happen to you faster, right? They happen faster. And if you're not being touched by a doctor at some point throughout the year, you're behind the eight ball, right? Things are going to happen that can't be changed if you wait too long.
No, that's, so, that's,
you know, you probably know the statistics more than I do, Todd. 70%+ of firefighters probably don't have a primary care physician. Why is that? Right? Because they're healthy. I stay in shape. I don't need one. You know, that's a big deal. It really
absolutely. You touched on that. For those that are listening, that's the IFC Healthcare Providers Guide to Firefighter Physicals. Dr. Sarah Janke is updating it to, I call it version 2.0, with some additional recommendations. But you're right, another great resource. It's out there, and this is kind of probably a good segue with, you know, we've talked about leadership and relationships and in multiple stakeholder organizations. So again, I want to be mindful of your time. I'd like to maybe end today's episode, and it's already pretty evident to me that we're going to be having you back on, because we have so much more to talk about, and I'm sure Donnie's clamoring to get you on his Work-Life mm-hmm. Balance podcast with Dr. Donnie. But I want to touch on we've had this safety stand down. United States safety stand down for the fire service. And it's kind of evolved my recollection over time. But now we've got multiple partners working together. You were instrumental this year in suggesting a theme, which I think all the partners came to consensus on. And for me, having my passion, to, like yours and Donnie's, is to reduce, preventable deaths and disabilities from our brother and sister firefighters. I think really, from my perspective, this year's theme really has the potential to be a landscape changer for the fire service and how we maybe break the cycle of losing firefighters from preventable cardiac events and preventable medical events on scene. So can you talk a little bit about this year's safety stand down? I know FDOS Way is a partner with a number of other organizations, but just touch a little bit about the safety stand down and then, what departments can be thinking about in terms of resources and how to access those, where to find them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can find the information at www.safetystanddown.org. And this year's theme is rebuilding rehab. I don't think as a fire service, we do a very good job at it. I thought it would be a great opportunity, since some new standards are coming out from NFPA, which is a partner in this as well, with the IChiefs, the National Volunteer Fire Council. Awesome people on this committee. So blessed to be a part of this mission this year, and hope to stay in touch with it. But the rehab piece is a part that we haven't really focused a lot on, because we look at each other and go, "Ah, I'm good, boss. I'm good. I'll grab a bottle of water and we'll get back on the truck and go available." And that's not what we do. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be making sure our people are good. We should be checking vital signs. We should ask them if they have signs or symptoms. Right? We should cool down, wash down, take their carcinogens away. There's so many of these processes that tie to all the initiatives we've dealt with in the past that really join now in this rebuilding and rehab, because we're addressing the cancer prevention piece with the wash down, right? We're taking vital signs. We're making sure we're hydrated and cooled down to make sure we're looking at the cardiac piece. And then we're asking the question, are you okay? Right? Did you want a high stress incident? And we manage high stress incidents in the valley a little different. We can log them in the alarm room. We can get reports on how many of these high stress incidents our people have gone on, so we can follow up and do those kind of things. But rehab is about addressing those three big ones, right? And making sure our people are okay to go back to work for the next call, right? And that's what this whole thing's about. I've talked a little bit about it in the past, but I did a piece on crew-based accountability, and I really focused on the preventive care, right? The yearly physicals, those kind of things, the training, the fundamental training to make us successful, and then dive into prepare, making sure your crews, when they come to work, they have a good attitude, the right mindset, that they can focus, they're hydrated, they're well-nutritioned, right? And we manage them throughout the day from a crew-based perspective, right, to make sure they're ready for the call. So when we work out, make sure they're rehydrated. When we go on a call, even if it's a single unit response, we work on crew-based rehab, right? We're going to come out with a kit that people, the apparatus can have that you just whip out the cooling hoods and you can take a blood pressure. You get some hydration mix in it. Super simple stuff. None of this is rocket science. The rocket science is actually doing it, actually committing your people and doing it, right? And I tell my people all the time, you know, we have a really great fire ground command system here in the Valley. And I know others have awesome processes, but when our incident commander reaches out to the unit and says, do you need rehab? First of all, if they've gone through two bottles or more, right, because they may have recycled, then they got to go to rehab. That question's, you know, probably shouldn't be asked, but that gets asked, right? And so they're talking to the company officer on the radio, right? And the company officer's looking at their people. Well, who's looking back at the company officer and saying, hey, boss, you need rehab, so we're all going to go. One goes, we all go, right? We got to take care of each other from a humanistic, caring for each other approach, right? And that's those are the things that we're gonna put all together for that week of in June to do that. And a safety stand down is the week of June 20th, and we have a ton of resources on the website right now that Kimberly put together and has been working on organizing these things, and so there's resources there now. There's going to be additional resources throughout the week. We're going to talk about hydration. We're going to talk about cardiac care. We're going to talk about cancer. We're going to talk about, at the end, operational rehab and what that does and how important it is. And I'll share one thing, you know, that the new standard is going to talk about a little bit about CO and, you know, what those levels may look like, and not specific levels. I think each region is going to have to come up with their own through their medical directors. But, you know, we had a firefighter that went on a couple calls throughout the shift, and he looked like he was just a little dehydrated and needed some help. Sent him to rehab. He was a little fatigued, so we sent him in. His CO levels were high, and he was on air the entire time. And we're going, I don't know where he got it. We've looked at every call. I immediately, when I found that out, I had our people go out to the crew and check their CO levels. They were all fine. So it's just a weirdness about it, right? And so, you know, we should be looking at vital signs to include CO levels on symptomatic people and making sure we're doing the right thing for the right reasons. And this is going to be the holistic approach to taking care of all those big killers that we're dealing with in the service, and making sure that you're okay before you hit available to get dispatched on the next one.
You know, I got to say, I'm excited to see this come together. You know, I've been thrilled to see departments from across the country submitting what they're doing and looking for best practices. And as you said, that holistic approach, because sometimes we get so focused on the incident at hand and mitigating that emergency crisis that we sometimes forget about taking care of our people during those high stress events where we have bad things happening to our members. So I'm excited. Give us the website one more time.
www.safetystanddown.org.
That's fantastic. And I know usually every year there's a quiz, and I think NFPA gives challenge coins. So be sure to take a look. Your organization and the resources are you know, why recreate the wheel if you've got best practices out there? You know, so take avail yourself of the work that has all been done throughout the year to put together what I think is going to be a phenomenal game changer for taking care of our folks. So thanks, sir, for your involvement, Eric, and thanks for FDSOA stepping up and being a partner in this. So I know we've run a little long today, and I apologize, but man, this has been some great information, some great lessons for those that maybe are just starting their career in the fire service. And like I said, I hope, I know you're busy, but I hope we can have you back on. And I know Donnie's going to probably reach out to you as well. And I'd love to continue the conversation with you. And I thank you for your time today. It's been a real treat for me. And I know our listeners are going to glean a lot of wisdom and just insights that you offered today, both of you. It's been a tremendous joy to have a little bit of each of your time today, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I am so blessed to be a part of the safety stand down. I'm so blessed to be a part of the fire service and the FDSOA and, you know, hanging out with great people like the two of you. I really appreciate it. You know, I'd love to come back and talk about personal accountability and how it ties to corrective action and discipline in the fire service, because we're seeing some weird things happen to some firefighters out there, and they're doing some crazy things, maybe on duty and off duty. And how all of that ties to the mental well-being of our people and what that looks like. So, you know, this thing is, it's so far reaching, and it has tentacles going into everything that we do every day in our job. And Don, you hit it on the head. It's the human capital that's the most important thing. Fire trucks are cool. You got to make sure your equipment's important. You know, it's important to have right equipment. It's well-maintained, but you know, your people are the most important part of this whole thing, or it doesn't work.
Well said. A mentor, I'm sure, like you have Eric and Donnie, you know, along the way. When I got promoted to chief fairly young, you know, reminded me that leadership is about people, not things. And you all both hit the nail on the head on that today, and just reinforcing that for our listeners out there. So regardless of where you are in the service, at what rank you are, there's some great lessons there about how to treat people.
Yeah. Yeah, lead people, manage things.
Yeah. Well said.
Well said, absolutely. Amen.
All right, Eric, if you would close the show out, please, with the best advice you could give to our young firefighters out there. What would, when it comes to safety and wellness, what should they be keeping their eye on?
Well, I will tell you, know and understand what you're getting into, right? Know and understand. Training is important. And so, you know, I always tell people the you tell your crew, you know, everybody wants to go to training, get on the truck. Everybody doesn't want to go to training, get on the truck, right? That's leadership, right? So know what you're getting into, know who you are, what your limitations are, know when you need help and ask for it, because there's plenty of resources out and there's people like us that would, you know, you can call, I tell people, you can call me 24/7. My phone sits right by my nightstand. My wife doesn't necessarily like it that much, but it is, it's that important to me. So if there's something that's happening that I can help with, I'm there. So I would tell you that I appreciate you guys and what you do, and thank you so much for having me here today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Stay safe. Stay well.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.